Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again.
Always awesome to be here on Sunday night.
Evenings.
And we have a special guest with us today. We're going to bring him out in a minute. Yes.
Yeah.
His name's Eric Carpenter, and I've known him for quite a while now. And he is a spirit-filled, spirit-baptized, born-again believer, and is also Catholic.
Yes, he is.
Now, everybody catch your breath after that. And we are going to talk about, well, the reason we have Eric here today is we're going to talk a little bit about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And I'm sure most of you probably know that there is one. And if you don't know that there is one, you're going to learn a little bit about it today, because I can assure you that there is one. And we're going to talk about Pentecostal / Charismatic Renewals in general that began the very first day of the 20th century. That led many people to call the 20th century the century of the Holy Spirit, because literally every denomination was touched by the Spirit in some powerful way.
Almost like a second outpouring.
Yes. Yeah. As if by a new Pentecost. We're going to talk about that too.
That should be the title of a book. That sounds like a good title for a book.
Good. Yeah. So Eric is here with us, and he's from Oberlin, Ohio. Well, not from Oberlin, Ohio, but he lives in Oberlin, Ohio now. He's originally from Wisconsin. And I'm sure he probably has an awesome testimony, which we might get to and we might not. But anyway, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oof. And you've been on the show before.
Yes, I have.
Oh, so you're a veteran. Yeah, there were at least 30 people out there wanting his autograph when we came in the door.
Very congested. That's how it is when you have somebody
that's
in the know.
Well known. Yeah. So anyway, here we are.
We don't get that.
No. And we're still talking about Pentecost, because as Steve pointed out a week or two ago, we could talk about Pentecost 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah. It's,
amen.
Because after all, it's the power, it's the outpouring, it's the engine that drives everything.
Jesus said he's going to be with you through the end of the age to remind you of all that he taught.
Yes. And we keep talking to people who think that the Spirit stopped working at the end of the first century, or when the canon was closed, or when John, the last apostle, died.
Yeah.
But no, we all three can testify he's still working.
Amen.
And
quite mightily.
And we see, even at one of Messiah, we had an outpouring of the Spirit.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that sometime, too.
What is one of Messiah?
But we want to talk about Eric.
Something else today.
So, I don't know if should we start with kind of a history of it, or do you want to talk about your experience with it, or do you want to start talking about the conference that's coming up? Or
Let's talk a little bit about the conference coming up, okay?
Go ahead.
2017 is the 50th anniversary of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which began in 1967, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, just want to say that coming up, Friday, July 14th, and Saturday, July 15th, we will have the 35th Catholic Renewal Ministries Annual Charismatic Conference. The theme for this year is Fount of Life, Fire of Love. And this conference is going to be held, as they have been for the number of recent years, at Magnificat High School on Hilliard Boulevard in Rocky River. And we're going to have some tremendous speakers this year. One headline speaker is named Mark Nimo, N-I-M-O. Mark is originally from Ghana, and he is a African, become American, and a very, very powerful speaker and evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
He's based in Chicago, and he has served the renewal in Africa for about 10 years, and then in this country, and he is a powerhouse, proclaims the word, practices healing ministry, and he's done all this at CRM before, and he's backed by special invitation. So he's one of the main speakers. And secondly, we're going to have Lavinia Spiritu. She's a teacher, author, spiritual director, and an evangelist in the Charismatic Renewal. And she is, she works with Renewal Ministries, as Phil Gigliotti has done. And she specializes in Bible study, Catholic Bible studies, and in also working with young adults. Very powerful ministry in that. The other main speaker is Father Bob Franco. He's the bishop's liaison to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the Diocese of Cleveland, and he's been our leader and a priest in this diocese since 1982. There are other speakers which we'll also talk about a little bit later, but this is going to be a very strong conference. Lots of praise and worship, contemporary Christian music. There will be adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And opportunity for reconciliation for the Sacrament of Penance as well. So we hope you'll come on both on Friday night and on Saturday. And the praise and worship music will be led by the St. Helen Worship Band. Steve, can you say a little bit about them? Do you know?
I don't, because I don't know them.
Okay. That's St. Helen's in Newbury, I think. I believe that's their group. That's their worship band, because I don't know a lot about them. But the music at these conferences is very powerful. Steve has led praise at CRM before. Times. So we hope you'll keep this
he
in mind.
He does the most awesome job.
I've never heard them, so I can't really speak to that. So
okay.
Sorry about that.
You can register this registration for this conference is in advance. It's $30 a person, and that will be registration until July 6th. And you can register online at crmweb.org. You can register online, and registration is $30 in advance and $35 at the door. And we're really trying to attract young people. So youth under 20 years of age are admitted free. So that's a deal. And so come and join us. I will be there and being ushering, and I'll be glad to greet you if you come in the door and smile and say, "We heard about this on, you know, on 12:20 a.m.
Heard your radio show
on the Gift of Grace." So,
yeah.
So that's a little bit about the conference.
And I should add, in a emphatic way, that it's very charismatic. And you know, for many of our listeners who don't have a knowledge of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and didn't even know there was a Catholic Charismatic Renewal, I can assure you that this is a powerful outpouring of the Spirit. There's very anointed teaching. There's music. There's gifts of the Spirit manifested. There's the power of the Spirit manifested. I think it would be great for our non-Catholic brothers and sisters to come as well.
This is the theme is the font of life and fire of love, and that will be in evidence. Mm-hmm. Praise and worship will be strong. The gifts will be manifest. There'll be prayer for healing, and
yeah.
there will be prophecy. I usually record those prophecies, and they are often extremely powerful.
A friend of mine who you guys both know, Ed from Home Group, it's probably been 10 years ago now.
Ed and Joe.
Yeah, he wasn't involved in Hi, Ed and Joe. He wasn't involved in really anything at the time, and he stopped me in the parking lot one day of the church and said, "I understand that you pray with people, and can you pray with me because I have lung cancer?" And I didn't know who he was, and I said, "Sure." He goes, "Okay, well, thanks." I go, "No, we're going to pray right now." So my wife, Joan, and I laid hands on him in the parking lot and prayed over him, and he, of course, didn't have any experience with that kind of thing, so he thought it was kind of weird that people were praying over him in the parking lot. So I told them, you know, there's this charismatic conference this weekend. You guys should come. And they came, and they were sitting behind us, and he had on this plaid shirt. And I think it might have been Dave Pico was on the platform.
I think it was.
And he said,
Deacon Dave, yeah.
He said, "There's a man here who's wearing a plaid shirt that has a very serious problem in one of his lungs."
Yeah.
And I turned around and looked at Ed, and Ed goes, "How does he know that?"
Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And he is fine, by the way. So.
Praise God.
Shout out to Eddie.
That was his first, his first experience with the word of knowledge.
Well, and then preceded by healing prayer.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's very good. I think, it would be great for anybody who wants to come.
It's a great place. In fact, just a few words about my story. My story began at the 2002 CRM conference. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers there was present at the original, at the origin of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, at which happened at Duquesne University on February 17 to 19, 1967. Her name is Patty Mansfield. And she was one of the Duquesne University students who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. at the Ark and the Dove Retreat Center just mm-hmm. outside Pittsburgh, along with about 20 of her mm-hmm. Fellow Duquesne students. And that was the beginning of the Catholic Charismatic yes. Renewal. Anyway, she came to Cleveland in 2002, talked about her experience, and it really touched my heart. And I'm a retired academic librarian and a book lover, professional book lover. So, of course, I bought her book. And I have a copy of it sitting in front of me. In fact, she's just published a new edition of it. It's the Golden Jubilee edition for the 50th anniversary of renewal called As by a New Pentecost. And I read her book, and it really started to get inside my heart. Mm-hmm. And I got to find out about this, and I heard about the baptism spirit. So in late 2002, it actually was in November 23rd, I received the baptism. And it changed, as they say, it changed my life. In fact, Dr. Ed Parisi, who is an Akron-based MD, and he was one of the two people who laid hands on me. Mm-hmm. And he said, among other things, that I would bring people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds okay to say in a situation like this, but I was a cradle Catholic, lifelong Catholic, and I would the last thing I would talk to anybody about anything. If you know me, you know, I'm very gregarious by nature and I love to meet people, but I would never discuss something as private as faith. And from that day to this one, you know, I'm on the same page with Phil and Steve and we'll talk about faith, for any and every and no reason at all, you know, at every opportunity.
Sometimes in the face of opposition.
So I got a chance to tell this to Patty Mansfield at a subsequent conference, and she autographed one of my books, and I treasure it. So
yes, Patty is a good friend of mine now because I've ministered in New Orleans 27 or 28 times since 2002. So I've gotten to know Patty well. And Dave Mengen, who was a math teacher at a high school in Ann Arbor, was also in the Duquesne weekend. So I actually know two out of the people that were there.
And they were two of the key.
Oh, yeah, they were two.
They were the ones who said, you know, we want fire this weekend. We want, yes. we want the Lord.
And Patty was a French literature major and spoke fluent French. I mean, she speaks fluent French. Yeah. And when somebody started speaking in tongues, she heard in French what he was saying in tongues, and she said, I didn't know you could speak French. And he said, I can't.
was Paco in that group?
Paco. No, he wasn't in that group.
He wasn't in that group.
Okay. Paco Gavrilides. He's another great friend of ours in Ann Arbor. Yeah.
And he has also been.
He was here last year at the conference.
At the last year's conference. Yeah. He was in Cleveland.
With Jim Murphy.
Yeah. No, when Mark's been at the conference he was there 2 years in a row a couple years ago, but it was, he's really, really anointed, really moves in the spirit.
Mark Nemo?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And he will be there, as I said earlier, he will be there again this year.
He told me something interesting when we were talking about doing Life in the Spirit seminars, which is something, you know, Stephen and Eric and I have done a lot of. He said to me, you know, when you guys do a Life in the Spirit, if you get 30 people there, you think it's a great crowd. He says, in Ghana, we have to do it at the football stadium.
And I think I have to be the one to mention this on this program, but we will have, as our flyer it's in front of me says, we will have additional speakers. Mm. And one of those additional speakers has a face that I'm actually sitting here looking at. His name is Dr. Phil Giuliani.
I have a great face for radio.
Who's he?
And he will be one of our speakers. Yeah. Are you doing a workshop?
I am not.
Okay.
But I do have a great face for radio.
You also have a very nice guitar that I hear.
I do.
Right? Yeah.
But since I left it out in that thunderstorm, it hasn't been the same.
Hasn't been the same? No. Yeah, well.
I'm still taking lessons, though. I can't get this minor chord thing down.
So what is it that you're going to speak on at the conference? Because you're here in the...
I don't know
your
yet.
Smiling faces.
I don't know yet. I'm supposed to do my testimony.
Read your bio.
But I'm supposed to do my testimony, but anybody who knows me knows I'm not just going to do that.
He's too shy.
I am a little too shy. Now I'll probably launch into some Torah teaching that comes out of my testimony. Or a Pentecost teaching.
One of the things that always happens when somebody's baptized in the Holy Spirit is their faith becomes more public.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, because you're proclaimed not just through our baptism, but Jesus tells the disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And basically, for the church to grow and for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, we have to proclaim the truth, and that means publicly. We can't keep it to ourselves. And the great part of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit enables us, like it did Peter that first day at Pentecost, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. That, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts and always bring us to a place of invitation to receive God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's one of the great things that happens, because when you're embraced by that divine hug, if you will, that divine all-encompassing love of God that just transforms your heart and your mind, you're forever changed. Oh, and you can't, I guess you can go back to the way that you were, but you're going back to no life.
And all Christian denominations, you know, are evangelical. But some more than others.
Yes.
And as a lifelong Catholic, I'd have to say that there have been a lot of talk in my denomination in the last 20 years, say, especially since Vatican II. There's been a lot of public priests will speak about it. Our hierarchy, the bishops speak about it constantly. The need for evangelization, yes, for all of us to be
now. There's bringing, new evangelization.
Now the new evangelization, and but you can't talk about evangelization without talking about the power that propels that evangelization.
Absolutely.
And impels individual
Absolutely.
Christians
yes.
to do this, to pray with people in parking lots like Phil's talking about and that I've done too, or in the, as one of my other good charismatic friends says, in the produce section of
Giant Eagle.
Of Giant Eagle, right.
Yeah. Like, you know, Steve and I always talk about the Great Commission. And when you think about it, Jesus only told them to do one thing, and that was to wait for the Spirit, to wait for the promise of the Father. Then you'll be clothed with power. Then you can be my witnesses. Because if you go try to preach now, it's going to be a disaster. You guys aren't ready for this. And then all of a sudden we have our friend Peter quoting from Joel chapter 2, Psalm 16, Psalm 110. And he's just going on and on and on. This isn't generally how Peter used to talk. And 3,000 people got saved.
And, you know, and people who aren't necessarily extroverted or, outgoing by nature.
Yeah.
People like Dave Mangan, who is a math teacher and rather introverted.
Yeah.
And he has spoken at the Cleveland conferences, became a spirit-filled and empowered evangelist.
I'm very shy, too. Anyway, remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Strongholds crumble all around us in the presence of our Lord.
There'll be victory in the camp at the shout of El Shaddai. Every enemy will flee from the fire in his eyes. Every captive will be free in this year of jubilee.
Can you hear it? Thunder in the distance when we worship. The Lion of Judah roars. distance when we worship. Lion of Judah roars. Strongholds crumble all around us at the presence of our Lord.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That was awesome.
Anyway, it was.
We were talking one day, Steve and I were talking about one day about how you rarely hear in any church people talking about the Lion of Judah. So I think we should start doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should. That's another story. That could be another show. But anyway.
That could be.
But. So Eric was talking, we have our guest Eric Carpenter with us talking about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, but I mentioned at the beginning that the 20th century is called the century of the Holy Spirit. Now we're in the 21st century. He hasn't stopped working. But the 20th century was marked by huge outpouring, huge renewals. This started the very first day of the 20th century, which is January 1st of 1901 in Topeka, Kansas. I can't remember the girl's name. A young African-American.
Agnes Osman. Agnes.
Yes, Osman. Young African-American woman, I think she was 12 or 13 or something, and she stood up during a service and started praying in tongues and
wow,
spread through that church. And then in 1906, you had the Azusa Street Revival, mm-hmm. which was so powerful that they were having prayer meetings every day of the week. The Holy Spirit was showing up at every single meeting. There were people from all different denominations. It was racially mixed.
Something that's really interesting is to read the accounts, first-hand accounts of that were published in the Los Angeles Times in 1906.
Oh, yeah, I've never done that.
Very, very interesting reading.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know? And when we were in Los Angeles a few years ago to go to Nathan Wilbur's wedding, and so I wanted to go see Azusa Street. So I don't know what I thought I was going to see when I got there, but there were some new buildings around and there was a plaque. You know, this is where the Azusa Street Revival was. And I said to my wife, all there is a plaque.
It's kind of like the Old Testament when God told the place, but, you know, first put a stone
put
and you're
going to
remember where
it
was at.
Right.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah. And then it spread from there. I mean, Azusa Street influenced so many other outpourings. And during the 20s, you had so many Pentecostal denominations that began. So the Catholic Church wasn't touched, but 1967 was the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. But we've done a lot of mission work in Mexico City, and there's a Catholic church there that we would go to sometimes. And there was a story about how a woman who lived nearby, the Holy Spirit came on her and said, I want you to go stand in front of the church. Streetcar is going to stop at, you know, 10 after 12 or whatever. And the priest is going to come off the streetcar. And when you see the priest, you're to go tell him that, you know, we need to have revival in this church and that I'm going to be. And so she was obedient. Mm-hmm. The priest got off the streetcar and she said, the Holy Spirit told me that we're supposed to have a revival in this church. And it turned out that this priest had also gotten a word about something like that. He was thinking about that for the last few days. So he hears this from this woman and goes, okay, this is confirmation. And there was actually a Holy Spirit outpouring in this church long before 1967. That was like 1912. So I shouldn't say it started in 1967, but that's where the renewal traces
its
beginning.
There were other, you know, experiences, evidences of it along the way from 1900.
And you mentioned the Second Vatican Council, right, which exactly. was technically before
1962 to 5,
right.
65.
But because in the Catholic Church teaches that the councils are divine, you know, the Holy Spirit is guiding the councils and that there's not going to be error coming from it and so forth, there were changes that took place, not only in liturgy, but also encouraging Bible study and encouraging reading.
Kind of a reformation of the liturgy.
Yes.
The whole concept of church.
Yes.
Relationships between the hierarchy and the laity and all of these things. And John the 23rd, you know, basically said, this is the Holy Spirit has, you know, has basically instructed me to call this conference because, you know, he's going to start doing some things with the church. So it was only 2 years after that, you know, ended in 65 that in, I'm not sure what time of the year in 65 it closed, maybe in the summer, June, something like that. But it was in February of 67, less than 2 years after later that the Holy Spirit poured down. And
but I heard the story. I don't know if it's true or not because I never actually researched it, but apparently the Pope at the time, John the 23rd, felt that this had to be done, but he had to deal with these stodgy old bishops and cardinals and stuff.
The Curia.
So he brought them into this room. It was summertime in Rome. It was hot as could be. He closed all the windows, all the shutters in the, on the windows, and there was no air conditioning. And so it got to be so hot in there, everybody was sweating, and he got up out of his seat, and he whipped open the shutters and whipped open the window and said, it's time to let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through the church. Yeah. And these guys were like, whoa.
That's, we agree. Open the windows.
Yeah.
Now, there was a lot of liturgical reforms that were taking place in the 40s that were leading up to, you know. So there was a lot of there were a lot of movements, or I should say a lot of movement with the Holy Spirit guiding and leading to make some liturgical reforms. But yeah, the Second Vatican Council really was, you know, pretty much like the culmination of, I think, the what was really being felt by the body of the by the body of the church to make the reforms.
Then this basically led to John Paul II, who was very charismatic and who many people witnessed him praying in tongues. And
kind of another dimension of this that fits in is ecumenism.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to get to.
And the Holy Spirit being the, you know, the unifier as he is, bringing, you know, bringing unity and power.
Yes.
And John wanted to open the windows of the church to open dialogue with other Christian denominations and, you know, start to reconsider the whole question of the reformation of Christianity in the 16th century, and that all, you know, got off the ground very powerfully.
Yeah.
At the same time as about as the Catholic Charismatic Renewal got started. So all of, and of course that whole story of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal has its, you know, owes everything to the initial openness of some Protestants.
Absolutely.
Because the, you know, the leaders of that Duquesne weekend had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit about 2 months before the students at Duquesne.
The cross and the switchblade.
And that's the, there's a causal relationship between those events.
The cross and the switchblade.
Exactly.
From the ministry in New York with the pastor, I can't think of his name now, Times Square Church. But anyway.
David Wilkerson.
Wilkerson, yes.
Assembly of God pastor from
I'm getting old, so I can't remember these things real fast. But anyway, but that influenced those kids that were there because they had all read the book. And then there was, after that, they had a, I can't remember what denomination she was from, but a woman who was Pentecostal that came and talked with them.
That was her. It was Flo. Her name was Flo Dodge.
Okay.
And she was charismatic Episcopalian, and it was her home in a, I think it was called the North Hills section of Pittsburgh. I was just looking at the my new Pentecost book last night. And so anyway, it's all in there.
Yeah. So the ecumenism, and you know, when I was first a believer and I was first baptized in the Spirit, one of the things that struck me when I saw the literature from the Catholic Charismatic Renewal was there was a part of it that said, when you are baptized in the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, you see the Spirit in other people, regardless of what denomination that they're in.
Yeah.
And you may not agree with all the things and you may not, you know, but you see that they have the Spirit. And boy, that sure became true. I could, you know, and you, I'm sure you guys have had that experience where you walk in a room and you know who knows the Spirit, who doesn't.
Yeah, the Spirit leads you to other people that,
yeah,
that he's, you know, they, that have the infilling. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do. But they're actively using the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
And it went right down to, in 1999, I don't know if you're probably familiar with the Joint Declaration on Justification that John Paul II and leaders from the Lutheran Church signed, where they basically said, you know, Luther was right in the sense that you're saved by grace and you're saved by faith, and that he shouldn't have been excommunicated, and that it was a nice thing for the church to be reformed at the time, and they all signed off on it. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a reconciliation thing where, again, you don't have to agree with every point, but you realize that, you know, here was somebody who thought there needed to be reformation because there were excesses and there were a lot of weird things that were going on, to say, like, well, we're going to lose the gospel if we keep doing, you know, all this other stuff.
You know, one thing is always true is that, as human beings, we like to create extracurricular activities, if you will. And just as Jesus would always tell the Pharisees, you know, you're heaping burdens upon people. You're actually preventing them from entering the kingdom of heaven, and you're not lifting a finger to help them.
Mm-hmm.
He would always excoriate them on that point. And it's true in the church, no matter what period of time you look at, there's always the Holy Spirit comes to renew the face of the earth. And sometimes people, just as at Pentecost, they scoff at the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that want to squelch the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because there is an element of not being in control that you can't really contain the Spirit of God.
Right.
You know, it's the Spirit of God is this truth that scrutinizes even the depths of God.
The depths of God, 1 Corinthians.
So how can we contain the Holy Spirit? We really can't. We can squelch or we can squelch
and we can grieve him.
Yeah.
And we can have somebody in leadership say, we don't do that sort of thing here.
Right. Right. And so you see it throughout church history where there's times where somebody stands up and says, you know, what you're doing here is not right. Maybe they might say it's not of the Lord. And they have every right to say that. It should be tested, but it brings, you know, it's about breathing new life and allowing the church to grow, that there's a harvest of souls.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, just as, you know, Jesus told the Pharisees that they weren't really helping people get into the kingdom of heaven, sometimes we block people from the kingdom of heaven. So the need for the Holy Spirit is very great. The need for these conferences is very great. And they're the allowing the Holy Spirit to move and to touch people's hearts and lives and to bring them into the presence of the Lord where that person can encounter the love of Jesus Christ in a real way, not just by book knowledge. It's not about knowing that Jesus existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's about knowing that he is alive today and that you know him personally.
That's so critical. Because you can have all kinds of head knowledge of God and not have heart knowledge.
Right.
You know, and that was my, you know, my story. I'm lifelong Catholic and I knew that God existed and he loved me, but I had not experienced that love.
Yeah.
I still thought at age 58, I still thought of God as a distant judge, you know,
with a scorecard.
A stern father, not a loving, overwhelmingly loving father.
Mm-hmm.
And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, turned that all around. It just.
Yeah. In my case, not only did I, because I have the same background, I mean, I dealt with, when I was a kid, you know, I dealt with these nuns who said, oh boy, you're going to go to hell because you've been.
We went to that's funny.
You guys go to the same school.
You grew up in you grew up in Pennsylvania and I grew up in Wisconsin, course, and we had the same nuns.
And of course, that's right.
They were relocating.
There was a church next to this little hotel we usually stay at in Washington, D.C. And they have this stained glass window of this nun with this sour look on her face. And I always say to Joan, hey, that's my second grade catechism teacher. How come they made a stained glass window out of her? But anyway, but that idea was the same as I had in my head, but, and I don't want to give my testimony away in case you're coming to the conference, but, and I was, you know, I was a scientific person. I mean, I went through engineering and science school, went to medical school. I mean, everything was well-defined, well-thought-out, Everything was
you
orderly.
Should have been an English major.
So yeah. So during my conversion experience, which went on for probably a couple of weeks' time, I knew something was happening. But in my experience and in my humanity and in my background, I thought, well, I can figure this out. I know some stuff about Jesus. I know some stuff about the church. I know some Bible stories.
Your pride was working.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if I sit here and I'll try to figure this out, I think I'll figure this out. Well, no, I didn't figure it out because you can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And as Steve and I always talk about, like, you can't sit down and deduce these things.
That's right.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, I minister with young people and I had an interesting conversation with a young man who's in the seminary right now. And I was asking them about, you know, charismatic versus non-charismatic. What do young people think about the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
What do they think about the charismatic mm-hmm. dimension of mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit? Do they really believe in it? Like encountering this love of God that transformed their heart and their mind. And do they believe in the gifts? And it was an interesting conversation because he was like, well, you know, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but it's like we don't. Not so much charismatic. I said, so you believe in the Holy Spirit that gives you charisms, but you don't believe in being charismatic. So it's kind of like, if you want to believe in the Holy Spirit, I want to believe in the Holy Spirit, but I'm not so sure about these charisms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of who the Holy Spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
Because God gives you the ability to do something. You know, God takes a gift that he's given you and equipped you with and makes it supernatural. You know, if I play the guitar and it's anointed and people are touched by it, it's not anything I'm doing, but it's everything that God's doing.
There's people that are touched when I play a guitar, but in a different way.
You mean they run.
That look of pain on their face.
that's one way of putting it, yeah. So it's... I'll try and get back to my point, but anyway... But it was an interesting conversation in the fact that to try and go out and renew the face of the earth without using or without being available to the Holy Spirit is futile.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to build the house yourself.
Yes.
And unless God builds the house, you're laboring in vain.
Yeah.
So there's not that understanding of who the Holy Spirit really is and the power that comes when he comes. They're trying to figure it out. As you were saying, I have enough knowledge here. I know I'm going to be able to figure this out eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get this all organized.
Yeah.
And I understand you can fill us in on this, that the charismatic renewal is booming in Africa and in Asia.
It is. And it's in Latin America. It's, you know, the power of the renewal in both Latin America and Africa is quite astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
There are just, you know, millions of renewal ministries is sending teams to all of these places and holding huge outdoor rallies, outdoor masses. Mark Nemo will be able to talk about this because he's been a participant and kind of getting back to the conference a little bit. He will be able to talk firsthand experience about the power of the renewal, about the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing people to firsthand experiential knowledge of the Holy Spirit as the fount of life and the fire of love, you know, transforming hearts, minds, healing people. Amazing things happen.
And in Africa, I understand all you have to do is put up some signs that say prayer meeting at 7 o'clock and boom. Place packed.
At a conference a few years back, a couple of people at both Stephen and Phil remember are Lloyd and Nancy Greenhall.
Oh yes,
just their names. A very you talk about a power couple from Texas.
Oh man,
you know whose whole life stories are wrought out of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Interesting
testimony. Yeah. Lloyd, who was actually in prison when the Holy Spirit set him free, literally, to start his ministry.
Yeah.
And they go to, you know, they grew up in hot climates, and she's from Louisiana, I think, and they love to minister, and as, you know, Anglo Anglo-American, you know, in very hot climates and get involved in this kind of ministry. So it's amazing.
Second break.
Is this Paul Wilbur?
It is. Remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, Eric, we have Eric Carpenter here.
And that song speaks about what we're talking about.
Yes.
Let the weight of your glory fall.
It's a great Hebrew word, kavod, which means the weight of the glory comes on you. Anyway, talk some more about the weight of the glory in the conference.
The weight of the glory. The weight of the glory. The Holy Spirit is the fount of life and the fire of love. That's the theme of this year's 35th Catholic Renewal Ministries Annual Charismatic Conference. That's going to take place on Friday, July 14th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. with the doors opening at 6:15, and Saturday, July 15th 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. We've got some wonderful speakers that are going to be addressing us, and they will be talking about various aspects of the Holy Spirit as font of life and fire of love. And one aspect of the renewal that we were just talking a little bit among ourselves about during the break was the concern that we all have to bring in young adults into the renewal, for them to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we are, we have invited some speakers. We have one of our featured speakers is a woman named Lavinia Spiritu, and she has been involved with Renewal Ministries, and with an, as a young adult, Renewal Ministries, Young Adult Ministry, and there's a program called ID 916. Steve, do you know anything about this? I think it's a special.
Yeah.
Do you know, Phil?
Intentional. ID stands for Intentional Disciples. And 916.
Is that a scripture reference
somewhere? Yeah, but I can't remember what book.
But anyway, Lavinia will have she will have things to say both to adults, you know, older adults about working with young adults, and also to address young adults in particular about you know, about the importance of spirit-filled life and about inspired worship and involvement of and reaching out to more of young adults who are not already in the renewal, reaching out to others who are not. Also, we will have a mother and daughter team, Chris and Becky Roach. They are local people. They have they are members of Families in Christ Jesus, which is a charismatic family-centered organization that's located in the Cleveland Diocese, based kind of on the Upper East Side, out towards in the Mentor area up in Wycliffe and Mentor, and they their spirituality is Catholic and it's charismatic, and they have a very active youth group. In fact, on Pentecost Eve, that would have been Saturday night 2 weeks ago, right? I went to the celebration where they had their youth group had a Pentecost Eve adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, which included a prayer for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I have to say, this is one of the most powerful charismatic events that I've been to in the last several years. Mm. And we had the Holy Spirit was all over that chapel. Mm. And Roberto Santiago, who's a member of the service committee, the Catholic Renewal Ministries General Service Committee that I used to be on. I was secretary for 9 years, and he is a very anointed speaker, and I will lead prayer for youth. And he came in and he started laying hands on various members of the Families in Christ Jesus group. Mm. And you all know what slain in the spirit means. People were laying, you know, on the floor, you know, in various postures being prayed with and receiving the Holy Spirit. It was a really astonishing and wonderful night. Beautiful, beautiful night. So, and this was a Families in Christ Jesus Catholic Renewal Ministries event. So,
you want to tell us the place and the time again?
The conference, exactly. Friday, July 14th, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Saturday, July 15th, 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. The basic facts here, admission in advance, $30 per person, or at the door for $35. And I just want to quickly mention that no one will be turned away because they don't have the funds to be admitted. You know, there will be adjustments made, and anybody who really wants to come will be admitted. You can register for this event at on the web, crmweb.org, crmweb.org. You can register there, or you can make a check or money order to CRM and mail it to Tom, T-O-M, Fumich, F-U-M-I-C-H, 6740 Nicole Drive, N-I-C-O-L-L Drive, North Ridgeville, Ohio, 44039. That's the check to CRM, Catholic Renewal Ministries. So that's the essential facts, and it should be a wonderful, wonderful event, and I hope I will be there, and I will be greeting people and hope to see many of you there.
Coming up in 12 short days.
Yeah.
12 short days. The show's over already. It is. Thanks, Eric, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
I enjoyed it immensely.
And I hope you've all had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as we celebrate this great, we celebrate the great Feast of Pentecost, and as we continue to do so, that you would be open to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that you would receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.